Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison, as always, joined by my co-host, Mike McGoy, Chris Epps, Crypto Bay J. What it do, y'all?
Whoa.
Hey, hey.
What's up? How you doing?
Shit. Whoa. Chilling. We back. This hasn't even been a full week because we recorded on Friday, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
we recorded late, and then now we're recording early.
Early, exactly. We usually record on Thursdays. In the 5-day span, we've got enough stories to fill the time.
Yeah.
Just in today, I feel like we've had a lot of entertainment from the crypto space.
What happened today? I was actually MIA today.
Oh, well, the Cool Cats, Farouk, I don't know how to pronounce the man's name. He's on Twitter with CryptoPunk, PFP. It's popular on there. Apparently, he capitulated and sold the bottom of Cool Cats. I guess he was one of their big holders. And, you know, people were up in arms.
I told you not to. I told you you don't need a Cool Cats, right?
Well, I still want one. I think this is this.
You should buy it right now.
Yeah, so I'm saying. I think this is actually at the bottom.
I told you not to then.
This is the bottom I was waiting for.
I've been on a streak recently.
Maybe it's still
in other news. Crypto Dick Butts went up, 800% in a night?
What went up, Chris?
The Crypto Dick Butts that I happened to tweet about.
The crypto what? Dick Butts?
Yeah.
Please chime in, please. Somebody else. Please. Right. Yes, it is a real NFT that is
around for a minute.
Terrible art,
yeah,
designed to be a fucking joke called Crypto Dick Butts.
And it shot up 800% 2 days ago.
The day at the night project. After I
Dick Butts up.
I call it on Twitter. It's on the fucking chain. Well, not really.
You call it the Dick Butts.
That's one call. Hey. That's one call we'll definitely attribute to Chris. Make sure he gets credit for the Dick Butt. Sure.
Put Chris said, next to the Dick Butt.
Yeah. Yo, good investment. All right. It was not financial advice, but it was
good. Chris, congratulations. In Dick, everyone. He wants you to invest in Dick.
Yeah, don't invest in your own. I know. Dick and butts. Yeah. Keep it to yourself, and you can invest in your
But, pause.
Pause is whole
section. Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll for calls and predictions, and I hate when people ask for calls and predictions. But I'm just right now just willy nilly. Let's look at my new whichever crystal I'm chilling out for the week. We talk for a bit. And I just wake up and feel something, and it just comes out, and it comes out right.
No, you got to get right with that. Your intuition is leading you. I'm bravo, congratulations.
Now, if it only worked for like women, if it only worked for traffic issues, although it did work for some traffic shit the other week, if it could only work for, you know, regular everyday shit that's useful and not just some dumb shit that I can't.
Yeah. Well, this would be useful if you would have bought some dick butts.
Yeah, if you would have just listened to my calls, then we'd all be rich right now.
You would be up 800% right now.
Yeah,
you'd be up in dicks and butts. Okay, it would be up in dick butts.
It's really up and stuck butts.
Yeah.
So I went and looked up the floor price of Cool Cats, which I see right now it's at 2.39. Was that what it looked like this morning?
It was 2.1 about 2 hours ago.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, and I had made a post on Twitter last week citing the prices of some of the NFTs we had been talking about on the show, and you know, more so the collections that I really like and follow. But yeah, Cool Cats was at 2.9 at the time. I think Clone X was at like 8.4. You know, we were talking about Invisible Friends being below mint. You know, they're like at like 2.27. Oh, Doodles was at 9.9. Clone X was at 8.3, and Cool Cats was at 2.75. So they've all dropped. I mean, ETH's price has raised since then.
Mm-hmm.
So that tends to happen, right? As the price of ETH goes up, the floor price of the NFTs go down, as a general rule. But I mean, they've fallen, you know, drastically. I feel like the bottom was not in. Doesn't seem like it. I don't know. What do you guys think?
We talked about this before.
Yeah, right. Jason. Like, it's
Talked about me not caring about NFTs also. So I'm letting you guys speak.
just look at. I mean, shit. Zoom out. Look at the whole market in general right now.
Zoom out.
Look at the signs.
I'm clicking. I'm right clicking. Okay, I'm not zooming out. I'm right.
Oh, no,
I'm saving
right.
That.
Yeah,
I'm saving it.
Let's get Mike in the conversation. You know,
I'm fucking with you guys.
Like, I think we're done with all the extra pain. You know. Oh, except for wait, what the fuck happened? Wait, no, someone got wrecked. You're right. There's like four different wreckings in like the last week.
What about last talked? What about Mark Cuban? Mark Cuban saying,
crying again.
Land is the
he's
shit.
Always
buying land is stupid.
Buying land in the metaverse is the dumbest
like
shit ever.
Old, man. He sounds like an old man. And I thought of something not nice to say, so I'm not going to say it. But
get it off.
But
get it off.
But he sounds aged.
Yeah.
He sounds aged saying that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, or he has two eyeballs and he's looking at the value right now compared to where the value was the like a year and a half
when
ago.
When he bought the top, yeah.
Right. He did buy the top, though.
He put all
his
money.
Like, he did. He wasn't in the bottom, Mike. You
he
know
put
he
a
wasn't
bunch
there.
Of money into like DeFi Ponzi a year ago about called Iron.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Dogecoin.
Oh, no, no, no. That's actually a better... That's the only investment I made, probably. It's Dogecoin.
That DeFi scam.
Yeah. He bought a scam.
That was
definitely... It was just a Ponzi. It was like literally a Ponzi. It was
are you talking about Iron or were you thinking Tron? Iron. Okay, no, it's Iron. Called Iron. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe it was Iron, right? And there was like four different tokens in that ecosystem to make the stable coin that it used... And these are algorithmic stable coins.
And he got like rugged, Terra. Right?
He got rugged. Everyone got rugged. And he got rugged like out of like probably 12, I think it was like 12 million or something.
Yeah, something crazy.
It was like chump change for him because he was playing around literally.
Yeah.
But
Mark has rugged outright. People, I'm sure, in this space.
Yeah.
Somebody told him about something and he got a whole bunch of money from it and jumped out, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
He made his money to like lose 12 million and not cry about it publicly after all the other, like, he invests in all this other shit. You don't think he made money, and then he comes to cry about his losses, which is interesting to me. Because I know he has some wins. He has to.
For sure.
Yeah. But I mean, of course,
his kids.
Yeah.
His kids are like actively involved and have been involved for a very long time. So that he makes a lot of his moves off of his kids, you know, intuitions or recommendations.
That's the same thing with Snoop. I heard Snoop's son is the one who got him into crypto.
And
he runs it. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel it because I feel, you know, these old guys should be listening to the youth, paying attention to what their offspring are telling them, you know, because it's not going to be the old way. Whatever it is, it's going to be something, you know, whether it's dick butts or iron or. Solana.
Listen, y'all, the domain hustle is real still. You know, NFT.com, you know, sold for a ridiculous amount of money. What was it? 15 million. OpenSea.eth sold for 163,000. So, like, for the people that are, that love to domain hustle, that's still alive and well.
That's an interesting thing. Have you ever, anybody ever tried that? Crypto BJ, you ever tried to buy some domains to flip them?
Hustle them? Well, yeah. I signed up for this email list that like tells you all the domain names that have like expired for the day. Oh. And every single time I get that email list, by the time I try to click on it, it's all sold out. Like, you can't get it. It's like you have to buy it within the 5 minutes that you get the email. So I thought about it. I started to try, you know, to put a strategy around it, but I didn't get further than that. What about you?
Nah, I never tried it. I see a bunch of people like selling them. You know, I try to like tap in with all the sales markets in terms of crypto and everything. And I see like the god.eth or the 999.eth or the whatever, you know what I'm saying? All the like, and then all the funny, like clever names, you know, all of those. I wouldn't know where to start. You know what I'm saying? Like, am I buying like George Clooney.eth or am I going with like Space Force? I don't like, it's so many things. Like, is it Obama? Like, I don't know.
I'm gonna do what my friend did and create bigbitch.eth. He thought that was gonna be a great one. He was so sure that was gonna go up.
Yeah.
Hey, if you guys want bigbitch.eth, just type in bigbitch.eth. My boy Grant, you owe me like 0.5 of whatever you make. Sorry.
Right. I guess you could.
Like, company names, you know, like people know.
That is a big thing.
Yeah.
What was a big trend like recently after all of the numbers, area codes was a big thing. Like having, you know, first people realizing, oh yeah, the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are gonna be worth a lot of money. So they started trying to make sure they had the least amount of digits, and then it got to like five digits as being a thing.
Yeah.
It was like the most like that can make you some money, I think. And then I noticed like the Arabic side of the market became a thing. There's guys tweeting about it like a month before it really popped. They're like, watch, he's going to go off. And I was like, that makes sense.
I would never think of that.
Yeah. The characters, you know, on ENS or on these domains, like they show up in Arabic. If you have an Arabic keyboard, you can type or whatever.
Yeah.
In the language, of course. And those started popping off like near the tail end of what I think was like the big ENS run. And they're still going. They're one of the most probably liquid trading things, you know, in the NFT market.
Right. So are we getting some liquidity back in the market now that we got some pumps?
It takes a minute usually. Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry, Mike. Yes, there's liquidity back in the market. No, because I was going to say NFTs always take a second, but I forgot this is not the NFT chat. Yeah, in general, there's liquidity because there's blood in the streets. So there's money to pick up. I mean, there's stuff to slosh around. There's chum in the water.
Mike? And
there's people slurping.
All right. Well, this next section is going to be sponsored by Tornado Cash, guys.
Oh, yes. Shit. Yes.
TornadoCash.eth is the one Tornado I need to buy.
No, we are not sponsored by TornadoCash.eth. I'd rather take Coinbase.
Get all your transactions through Tornado Cash.
There's a lot that didn't happen.
The
most wholesome way as well, where you can actually share amongst you and your friends.
Exactly.
Tornado Cash.
Our favorite sponsor. Go ahead, Mike.
Man, definitely more liquidity is hitting the markets for sure. And I look forward to it going to crypto. Again, you guys know, I think that we're in for another type of possible downturn. Just one more way before the ultimate push back north. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to run north hard. So that's where we're at. There's something that I'm watching right now, which is this Chinese real estate market.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by it. It's a $4.5 trillion market with a T.
With a T.
And it's pretty much all leveraged up. And they've now started, and this actually might get the pod blocked in some countries, but they've now started doing mortgage, what are they doing? Mortgage protest, where they're no longer paying the mortgages on these houses.
Oh no.
Hadn't even been built yet.
Right. Okay.
But then also four out of the top 10 Chinese banks shut down withdrawals a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So this is forcing mass panic. There's going to be a whole bunch of money looking to go somewhere because they're no longer believing in the real estate market, which was basically all that Chinese people believed in for a very long time.
Yeah.
Maybe forever.
What happened? Why was this chaos about?
Right.
Ultimately, it was a Ponzi scheme, but they just to prop up the numbers for the Chinese economy, they just would keep building, hoping that at some point the people in the larger cities would move out to the suburbs, kind of like how we did here. Mm-hmm. And ultimately what happened was, you know, they would take deposits from people who were buying their second home or their, you know, their kids buying their first home outside of the city. They would take that deposit, and as opposed to using that deposit to build the property, they would just buy more property and leverage that up 9 more times. And so ultimately it's all these Google Chinese ghost cities. It is the eeriest shit you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're talking about massive cities.
Right.
And there's like 10 people in a massive city.
Yeah. Right. With crazy 30 story empty apartment high rises that are just all over China.
They just knocked down 14 empty high rises in a city an hour outside of Shanghai.
Mm.
Wow.
And so this is going to be nasty. This is going to get nasty. And again, how it spills over to the US and to the crypto markets are going to be very interesting. But I wouldn't doubt if we start seeing, you know, huge influx of capital from the Asian markets into, you know, safe havens, like even Bit or ETH.
Right.
Because it's their best option right now. So definitely keep an eye out on that. I'm telling you, there's some great YouTube videos on what's happening right now. But again, because of how their media is, you know,
Yeah, there's only been 825 cases of COVID in China.
Exactly.
Or like 5,000 according to
exactly,
them.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Yeah. Right. And so because of that, they're censoring a lot of, you know, the stuff coming out right now. But that to me is the most interesting thing. So I think that could definitely bring, you know, a substantial amount more liquidity to the market in the near future, actually.
Does anyone get their money, like hustle their money clean? You know, I don't know if that even makes sense saying hustle and clean at the same time, but like, is everybody like doing some shady shit? Like, is this what it all boils down to?
Wait, I mean, are you saying, are you asking, just to be specific, are you asking, do businesses indulge in nefarious activities?
I'm saying, are there businesses that don't? It's really because it seems like,
I mean, not billion-dollar businesses, and not trillion-dollar
working.
Yeah, right. it's behind every great fortune is a crime, and you know, also
is this fact though? I'm saying, like, these are like myths. You know, is this fact?
I mean, over time, it's more fact than fiction, right? Nothing is 100% true, but it leans to the probably high 70-80 percentile, I would assume.
Hey, I would even pose a question, you know, if we have time now or even next episode, let's just go down the line.
Yeah.
Right? Each fortune. Yeah. And you can probably Wikipedia, wiki search actually, locate some nefarious
interactions here. Everyone's gotten caught. That's the other thing too.
But a lot of it has been caught at this point now. Right, I mean, even down to the Kennedys, like they were bootleggers, which would be basically modern day weed sellers.
Yeah. No, I mean, all of them. I mean, the people who own slaves down to the Rockefellers and every other, you know, but it's not just American families. It's, you know, all of European families. Like, this is just this is how the world works. Like, unfortunately, there's not many examples of people, like you say, Crypto Bay, doing it clean. I don't really know if I can point to it. I mean, look, we're going to talk about Elon, but that's another perfect example. Like
another example.
Yeah. Like, I heard that he just strong arms companies.
Yeah. Yeah. He does.
Right? I actually thought he was a part of creating PayPal, and I learned that not.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could have a whole other podcast about, you know, great crimes creating these fortunes. That could be its own podcast because we could do it literally 1,000 episodes. But yeah, that's his game. His dad was the diamond miner in South Africa. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's passing down this legacy. So yeah, he is not the inventor extraordinaire, you know, Nikola Tesla, Willy Wonka. He's a little like, you know,
he's a hustler,
he's a manipulator, he's a capitalist at the tip top, you know what I'm saying? And these guys
at the tip.
Like, these guys are arch criminals, and I call them arch capitalists. Like,
he sold the bottom again. Another bottom selling bitch. The bottom. It's perfect.
Who did he need to slap with $5 billion that he had to do that? Like, why did he?
Whose husband is he about to?
Like, who did he have to take that and like put the money on his arm to? Like, why? Like, why did he do that?
Gotti?
What like influencer secret Instagram chat is he a part of that he had to show niggas that he had five bill cash to flex? I don't understand. What can anybody Tate? Explain that transaction?
That fucking guy, it sounds like they would be friends. I don't know.
Don't badmouth the Tate on in my presence, man.
I knew Mike was gonna fuck with this guy.
I knew it too. Yo,
if there was anybody that was gonna fuck with him.
Oh, wait, who you said? Don't badmouth who?
Andrew Tate.
Oh, Andrew Tate.
I'm not going for any Uncle Kev or any Andrew Tate slander in my presence.
Did you call him the Tate?
Andrew Tate. No,
Andrew Tate. I'll say he called him the Tate for short. Like,
Tate? Oh, I think they,
the Tate. The Tate. Wow. Yeah. No, I just heard of this guy this week, and he busts on to the scene. Pause.
Yeah.
You know, like a fucking superstar out of nowhere, the supernova.
Yeah, you ever heard of this dude?
I never heard of him, bro. And he's literally been around this week.
I mean, I've seen him popping up on YouTube or on, like, you know, Instagram or clips on Twitter for a while just because of the amount of incels there are. Sorry. He brings a certain crowd.
Yeah, he's like Jordan Peterson and Dan Bilzerian rolled in the
combined.
One.
Yeah. He is.
But with receipts. I'm sorry. I mean, like, with actual receipts.
I think he
I'm
buys, saying,
yeah,
he buys,
yeah,
he
Dan, buys Dan Bilzerian had receipts. He was
he didn't actually.
Dan Bilzerian did not have receipts. No, he was literally just like a daddy. Just he got like that fool was a scammer, big scam.
I'm saying his scamming. I'm just saying his receipts was he was in the streets.
I'm saying actual real receipts of like $1 million transactions.
Over and over again,
based
money.
Off of his efforts that he's created. Managing these OnlyFans girls.
Yeah. So what is he? What does he do? Yeah. What is his gig? What does he do, Mike?
Well, a while ago, he made his money. He was saying because he was a professional kickboxer in London,
right?
And so that's cool. But that's, you know, at doing that, you're making tens here, 15s, and 25s here and there.
Yeah.
And so he basically said he owed some money to some very dangerous men, and he thought about, you know, what to do. And the first thing, not the first thing, but after a few weeks. You know, he thought about selling foot pics of his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And, you know, she made a whole bunch of money. She then invited her homegirl. Mm-hmm. Her homegirl made a whole bunch of money. She invited her homegirl.
Mm-hmm. This is how OnlyFans started?
No. This was when OnlyFans first started online. Yeah. And so then he had, according to him, and this is kind of where it gets chilly. And this is where, you know, as a salesman myself, I just kind of cut the numbers in half. But, you know, then he says he had 40 girls living in the house and they were all making $1 million a month, some shit like that.
Right.
So,
so let's say he was pulling in 10 or 6, right? A month.
Whatever.
Whatever it is, right? It was
like digital
a lot.
Pimping.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pimping. Yeah,
digital pimping actually sounds safer to me. I think I'm okay with this.
Yeah,
and the crazy thing he likes to talk about all the time is he goes, you know, because so what he's doing now is just trying to spread the word. That's why he has literally like 11 channels that he markets to all different types of demographics. But the key demographic he's going after right now are the incel community. Because he feels like they need his message more than anyone else does. The same way Kevin would go after the Black woman community because he felt like they needed the message more than the white women needed to hear that message or the Asian women needed to hear that message. And so he's directly targeting incels right now. So you're not wrong with that, Chris. And the crazy thing is, you know, one of the conversation, not to talk too much about this guy, but one thing that I appreciated, he tells these gamers, he goes, dude, you guys play this game for hours on hours to get status, to get credit, to then buy more stuff, to then be attractive to the people in your community.
Right.
Why don't you do this outside?
Right.
It's the same principle.
Right.
Right. You make yourself, you know, attractive or like to then go outside to then make bigger things, to then buy bigger things, to then get the real women that you actually want.
Yeah, but niggas like,
you gotta earn it.
But niggas like playing the game though too, and that's the thing. Is like they just had a big ass tournament at USC over the weekend for Call of Duty, and the grand prize was $2.4 million. Certain niggas is making bags off the merch, off the this, off the sponsorships, off, you know, off the gaming. So definitely don't want to knock that as a hustle and a way to get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand his perspective in that of like telling niggas to get outside, but it's some niggas who's really in the shit, like, you know, could really get a bag with that.
But that's the thing. And again, all he's saying is, hey, you can do this, but you can do both also. And when you only focus on one side of reality, then it actually starts to taint your other side of reality.
Right.
Bro, you should listen to some of these conversations. These kids keep saying, like, yeah, but like not in like, but in real life I'm like this, or but in real life I don't have this. And it's like, what, like what do you keep? I mean, I'm sorry, they don't differentiate the in game to the real life.
Right.
I said that wrong. They don't differentiate from in game to real life.
Right. They, it's all wrapped into one thing for them.
It's just, it's wrapped in one.
Because it's real to them. Because that shit's important to them.
Right.
Well, everything online is important, especially like to the younger generation. It's like, that's what they, that's their life.
Yeah, that's the Ready Player One. Shit.
Yeah. And then when they have a guy who seems like he's got it together, and then pretty convincing, he has it together. He has some money. He's pretty convincing when, like, when he, the way he just talks and carries himself.
He
has results to show.
Yeah, he has charisma. Like Pimp C said, you know,
he's a dick, bro.
Who? Pimp C?
Bro, Andrew Tate. No, Pimp C is great. Sorry.
No, I'm saying, like Pimp C said, man, pimping ain't dead. It just moved to the web.
You know? Put it on the chain. Like,
the digital pivot, as my man said on the Sharp interview. The digital pivot.
Shit, that shit's already on the
web. They are marketing strategists now. Like they up on their SEO game, and
it's
quite interesting.
So Crypto Bay, you have been going to a lot of different conferences and things. This past week, they had the Invest Fest. I'm assuming you didn't make it to that.
I did not go. I considered it, but since I've just been on the run so crazy, I just decided not to go to that one.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I was trying to remember the name of this company because I sat in at NFT Expoverse on some kind of platform that's trying to create a decentralized OnlyFans, but not OnlyFans, because it's sex workers.
Is Peachy something? We met them, right? Peachy.
Yes. So you know the name of it, because I was like, this is related to what y'all were just talking about.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
Exactly. So that basically, so sex workers can't get banned, you know, from making their money.
Right.
And Proof of Peach, shout out Proof of Peach. Me and Crypto Bay J met them at NFT Expo LA.
And so they,
young ladies' names. One of them, their Twitter was Tesla, which was a pretty good name. I was like, I get you there. That's pretty good. But they're very, they're into something that was very interesting and tried before. And I think because it feels like it's usually run by men, that's something that's weird. Seeing women that are running it,
right,
like, is also something that I feel like is important.
So it's basically like a service where you could buy prostitution over.
Whoa.
What do you mean, whoa?
It's a content
platform.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
Yeah, Jason, a content platform.
But Andrew Tate, Madison over here.
Sorry, no, I didn't.
We try to get sponsored. Them out.
is that a bad word? Can you not?
It's got a weird connotation.
But buying sex is illegal.
Right, but I'm just saying in terms of just the sex work community, because I know they like to be called sex workers.
Yeah, that's politically correct.
Right, because I don't think, I guess my intention wasn't right. My intention wasn't to call anybody a prostitute.
I don't like that shit.
But
if I give hand jobs at the little local rub and tug, I don't want to be called a sex worker.
Right. Because that's not really a specialty.
But you might want to. Because they have like unions and stuff, you know? So you might want to.
A union of hair
I mean, like.
I think we're trying to destigmatize sex work.
Yeah, stop laughing, bro. Come on.
They got a union.
There was a protest. The guy who unionized made the union for Amazon, who got famous for a bit.
Oh, the black dude.
Yeah, he was out there protesting with some strippers / sex workers about unionizing. I think that was in LA.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with them unionizing? I think they should. I think they should get all the benefits of anybody working. It's the oldest profession in the world. Like, it's really
Starbucks is trying to do. That's also a very old profession. So, like, coffee is one of the oldest.
Yeah, that's real shit. It ain't nothing like, I don't want to be in the brand of like trying to shame people for doing sex work or any type of work, honestly.
I'm pro sex work.
You give them all your money, huh?
You know who else is? Neo. Neo is also pro-sex work. What, and his, that's why he's getting divorced.
What, his mistress was a sex worker?
Well, yeah, his wife put out all of the people that he was sex working with.
Jeez.
His colleagues.
Oh, I'm crying. Yeah.
Wow. So, but InvestFest, right? We kind of veered off.
There's something going on there too. There's definitely some investing into the workers of sex and InvestFest, I imagine.
Was it Miami?
Where was it?
Atlanta.
Oh, hell no.
The mecca of black finance.
Oh my God.
The mecca of getting robbed at the parking lot.
All bullshit aside, I saw like footage of the InvestFest also, and it looked like a really good time. I was more than happy to see all those young, you know, black and brown faces out there, man, looking for information, looking, you know, thirsting for ways of expanding capital. And, you know, it was really inspiring. I actually spoke to my executive team, and we will be there, boots on the ground, next one for sure, with our own booth, National Gold Group,
on stage with a live performance.
We got to turn the InvestFest into Rolling Loud for like black finance.
Rolling Loud times InvestFest in Atlanta.
Skills just couldn't wait to just clean up the festival.
No. I think you misinterpreted what I was saying. I'm saying the way that Rolling Loud travels around the country and has different people represent every region, that they should have one in LA, where there's also the black LA, you know what I'm saying? Old school, new school investors there, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like not everybody's going to travel to, you know what I'm saying, March on Washington, Million Man March. Like, we need to have them like different places, like have one, you know, in fucking Houston
I agree with that.
You know, New York.
It was a huge event. They got
it was huge.
Yeah.
It was a huge event. Tyler Perry, you know, they had Steve Harvey. Those were their headliners. I think the whole thing was an amazing concept. All of their guys that like went on their podcast multiple times, Ash Cash, MG the mortgage broker, like all of those people were also like listed on the billing. So it just seemed really, really dope.
Yeah, it did. And I really would like to, you know, definitely see it in person for sure next year. So I'm going for sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll have a booth there. Maybe we'll do a panel, you know, maybe we'll help throw it. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 12 months. We know the market is going to go crazy. So I feel like if we could each hit one lick, then we'll be in a great position.
You don't even have to hit a lick, bro. This is the thing. You could just, I bought Ethereum, buy whales of ether. That's just basically putting a bunch of Ethereum in a piggy bank. You could buy some things on Ethereum. You could buy Bitcoin, and you don't have to hit a lick. You could just.
Bro, did you not hear the beginning of this conversation? You can't do it clean.
You can't do it clean.
You got it.
Jason, you got to run from the leverage.
You got to run a play. You got to flip a brick.
From the leverage, Jason. Put the bottle down. Step back away from the leverage.
How do you think Jay-Z got to a billion? It wasn't all cocaine. Clean.
That's not leverage.
That's what I'm
go
saying.
Buy cocaine. You can make some money quickly.
Buying cocaine. That's called leverage.
That's just the same thing.
Same thing.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging, It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, Noodle. Hey, boy. How you doing? And Noodle's just like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So before we leave in Vest Fest, so Lamar Wilson seemed to be the only like crypto person that I knew that was on the billing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all know who he is, but he is a part of this group called Black Bitcoin Billionaires. Yeah, they got popular during the pandemic on Clubhouse
days.
Even though I know he was in crypto before then, but that's when like people really started to know who he was and that kind of thing. And they would host rooms. I don't know. I'm hearing rumblings that there's the people that are a part of Black Bitcoin Billionaires are not necessarily working with each other anymore. And that kind of like
the tea episode.
And that kind of like makes me, you know, that makes me feel sad about things.
Why do you think they're no longer working together all of a sudden in a down market?
Right. That's also
well.
I'm asking, why do you think I
just got my first impersonator Instagram scammer?
Shout out to Chris Epps, 1/4 of the crypto bros.
Finally made
on
it
the bomb they network.
And then it was a bear market. You know, the scammer would have made some money if he would have done this shit like a year ago. But yeah, no, that sucks. That does suck, to be honest.
Everybody is friends in the bull market, man. Everybody's friends in the bull market.
That's true.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. But that was a genuine question, though. Is there a
dissertation about that? Can we talk about that? What's that mean?
It's just when everything is going great, we're all chummy, mm-hmm. we're all besties.
We made a DAO.
We're swinging hands. Yeah. We made a DAO.
We're buying NFTs.
I even bought NFTs somehow in a DAO.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
everyone's high cars. I have best friends who are people I've never met, but live in Orange County. And like, we have these secret meetings with people all the time, and everything is incredible.
Yep.
Then that market went down. Everyone hates everyone. Chris is the scapegoat. Everyone now hates Chris for sure.
Right.
It
kind of hate me.
I have to go to spirituality to fucking make sure like I can come out of this.
Chris
strong.
Ran to spirituality. Chris is the crypto mace.
Yeah.
Mason.
This is actually an asteroid that I bought.
Yeah. No, it's blood in the streets. It's the purge. It's I am legend. Yeah. Like, it's every man for himself.
It's every man for himself when it starts going down. And so it's not shocking to me that they're that they're breaking up during this time. It sucks though. But I still would like to know why. Was there a specific product, a specific project that moved south, or I would like to actually know why at some point. Because it's a great name.
What happened, Jesus? Yeah, it is a great name. Like, what the fuck?
If nothing else,
Mero, BBB,
like
everyone's just breaking up.
Yeah, it has something to do with they were trying to figure out, they were trying to partner together and come up with a program for Jay-Z's effort that he promoted to educate Marcy Projects.
Oh, right.
With Jack Dorsey. And so it has something to do with that.
Right.
It was Jay. Jay sabotaged the Black Billionaire Club on purpose. He wants to be the only one, him and Kanye.
No. But you know what? It's tough because I think for this Mike, I think it's tough for people to figure out how to teach Bitcoin. And to come to a kind of an agreement on what that curriculum is going to be, and to have that kind of levied on your shoulders. I'm sure they were, just trying to deal with the ins and outs and, how to approach that to Jay-Z. It's easy to kind of, not I won't say easy, because I'm sure their process wasn't easy, but the steps of, hey, we got a group, Bitcoin's popping, we're Black, we're on Bitcoin. Pick us, we know what's up, is not easy, but that's, you could see that. But the actual execution of, we got to come up with a curriculum and, teach kids and Marcy, and niggas gonna have to change their lives to like do this, I'm sure was a little bit more complex in the actual, working of it. But I don't know, who knows what was actually going on interpersonally and, with their situation. But that is interesting. I wonder what's going to happen with that. Cause Jay-Z and Jack, the Bitcoin maxis, low key.
Jay also a Bitcoin maxi as well?
I mean, he had the Reasonable Doubt NFT. So I guess he fucks with ETH a little bit.
He has a punk, right?
He does have a punk.
He had a punk before everything blew up.
Right. Yeah, he did.
But how did y'all know this? Was there a press release that went out that he had a punk?
No, he changed his Twitter avatar to the
Punk. That was it.
In the throes of first COVID,
He was one of the first like celebrities to get on the NFT wave and to change their PFP to NFT. It was like him and Snoop kind of back to back.
Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Walker.
Walker be in the mix. He keeps his head to the crypto streets. Like, I mean, just in anything, just in culture, like he just knows what's up. I like that about him.
Yeah. So that's an interesting saga with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, you know, that I've met in these conferences and things that are doing similar things. And I kind of see opportunities for people to join forces. But then at the end of the day, it's like human nature, like, can people work together to like really, you know, make things happen for real? I just see a lot of redundancy and it's like, dang, you know, if you two got together with these three people, y'all could actually get some funding for real, you know?
Yeah.
So I do feel like there's a lot of everyone trying to do the same thing, which is teach people how to make or how to get their own crypto and also charge them.
Right.
And it's something that you know, we all taught ourselves.
Right. It should be kind of a free experience. And that's kind of what I found of like, I'm not really interested in trading for other people. I mean, actually, let me take that back. I am. I would love to trade for people. I would love to trade for Jay-Z and Jack Dorsey.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, I was going to say, if the right investor comes through.
Right, I was going to say, if Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott and like Kanye and whoever else, Waka Flocka, Boosie, I don't care. Like, if I was a celebrity trader, like, I would do that 100%. So I'm not going to act like I wouldn't want to trade for people. What I would
rather want to trade for you, broke ass. He wants to trade for the real stars,
right? But really, what interests me, I guess, is what I'm saying, and like at my core is doing this, and you know, like talking to you guys and talking to other people who are in the space or either interested in the space, and having conversations, like, because there's not really any anxiety with this, and I feel like it's semi-educational, but more fun than anything. I don't want the responsibility of having to be the teacher. You know, like, that's what I realized. I respect teachers so much, and I know that job is hard as fuck, but that's like, it's like being a school bus driver. Like, you really are in charge of everybody's lives, low-key. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you could do that, but that's, for me, like, I'd rather have fun conversations, you know?
When people first learn about crypto, especially that come to me, they always want me to manage their portfolio. That's like, you know, they always do. And it's so funny because I'm thinking about the person that put me on, and he was like, you need to have $20,000 at least in crypto before I start like managing your portfolio. And I'm like, okay. And that really actually motivated me to get my portfolio up, though. I was going to say, there's this tool, though, that I thought about using, but I decided just not to go in that direction because, again, I'm agreeing with you. I don't want the responsibility of like people feeling some type of way and getting emotional over their money.
Yeah.
But the tool is called Enzyme, and enzyme.io, something like that. I'm not sure it's XYZ or IO, but basically, like, you can just do all your trades and it just basically broadcasts it out to other people so that people can follow you and follow your particular trades or unfollow your trades. And that seemed like the best option.
Sorry, not to cut you off. That was the homie Jamal's company. That company, but Jamal, Jamal Boykin, in the crypto enthusiast, had a company called Followcoin. Basically, you follow influencer traders, and you can like mock their trades or just track their trades. But yeah, it was very similar to what you're saying.
Oh yeah, that's dope. So I found that, and I was like, I was really thinking about using that if I was going to start to broadcast my trades, but I decided not to. But for those people that are interested in that, or if any of you guys are interested in that, it seems very easy to use and cool.
Yeah.
Look, yeah, no, I'm so proud. I feel like I would love to follow, but let me ask you this though, Crypto Bay. How much of your portfolio do you trade?
I don't trade anything now.
Okay. Okay.
I don't trade anything now. I mean, I still trade. That's not true. I mean, like, every once in a while, out of the blue, when I'm feeling it. Mm-hmm. You know, less is more for me now because I want to do other things in my life.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Because when you're trading is a 24-hour job, there's not a moment that you can break and not know the price of whatever your thing is. Like,
you have to know it down to the decimal point. So I remember those months of trading. So Crypto Bay, were you heavily trading for yourself and others, or just you? What was your vibe?
Just for myself, yeah. But I was in the group and I was shouting out what I was doing in the group chat. I was like one of those, all the memes are always guys checking their phone in the middle of the night, like, right. You know, why they got their girl or their wife in there a bit. But that was me, you know, setting alarms, like, okay, setting alarms because I just couldn't stay up any longer. Like, all right, I'm going to put an alarm for 2 o'clock. I'm put an alarm for 3:30, put an alarm for 5 o'clock. Just to
I got
see
the reminders right here.
Yeah.
On my home screen. How did Mr. Crypto Bay feel about this?
HK market open. Well, luckily, like UK market open and EST market open every day. Okay, all that shit. And then I still wake up at like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. I still wake up at 4 a.m. PST just because of that's the time where Jason, as you know, and I'm guessing as you all know, leverage just either does what it's going to do for the day. It goes up or down super hard. excuse me. My circadian rhythm is still stuck on that.
Wait. Let her answer Mike's question. Just talking over.
There isn't a consistent Mr. Crypto Bay J, so I don't have a problem.
Okay, there you go. Right. That's usually the best way to operate when you're trading. I didn't have that good fortune. So,
I had both. I went from being single for like a year and then dating someone for like maybe half a year. And that half a year dating them, I still had the traits of a degenerate crypto trader. So at 4 or 5 a.m., she'd wake up and because I was up, like this is like a shit, just on my phone, making sure everything's alive or all my trades are fine or whatever else, checking Twitter for a second. But she'd always see it and did not like it. And it took a minute for her to believe me, especially when like there's like a mini bear market. So she's like, you don't fucking do this shit.
Your attention is never really there in life.
Yeah, like, no, in life, period. Yeah, you're kind of checked out on literally like your existence while you're trading, like your complete human existence. Everything is just kind of like wafting. It's like a little fuzzy.
Yeah, if you're really trading, it is.
Yeah.
I've pulled over on my driving, pulled out my phone and my tablet, like, and cool. Just, you know, tried to do some shit on the side, you know.
Oh, yeah. Red light for.
No, bro. I pulled over and stopped at a Starbucks because my phone.
Call me.
Yeah, exactly. You remember. So like I feel you because Chris knows I've done everything. I like do things at hyper speed. So I experience all the emotions in the smallest window in a month. You know, cast is up crazy, down crazy, the whole nine. Like that euphoria that you feel when the numbers are green. Is like I can't even explain it. Like this, it must be what crack feels like.
He's tapping his veins, like, he's tapping his veins. He's literally tapping his veins right now. Like, we can see him.
We're all kind of itching right now. I'm like fidgeting with my hands.
It's really hot.
It's true.
Really hot.
The window closed.
You guys are incredible. Just this fucking generous.
It's true. As soon as I get a good charge, I'm
going to
right back in there.
That did nothing for me. That whole dissertation did nothing for me. I promise you. But I get it because I've seen it in my friends. I've seen it in Jason. I've seen it in Chris. I've seen
you
it.
Like,
I
understand. Can you do that with the gold market?
No, well, but I don't do leverage. And so all that we do are just sell the physical, actual, tangible commodity, the bar or the coin. And like I consummate the trade. So, you know, once we lock in pricing, I consummate trade. I'm contacting, you know, our wholesalers and putting the price in immediately. There is no because that's, I can't handle that shit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like there are people in my space who basically will they'll take an order and then lock in the trade, but won't actually pull the trigger until like the following morning. So it might be like a 2% or 3% float either direction.
Yeah.
We're not playing any of those games.
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so let's say I place an order, you know, and I wake up, gold is now down, you know, $14-$17. You know, or 4% basically, and we're rolling over doing a transaction for 350,000, right? 4% of 350,000 is a lot of fucking money. Right. And so like that, I would have to eat personally. Mm-hmm. Like we would have to, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and so I'm like, nah, I would rather just when the tray gets placed, put the order in, man. That's it.
Yeah, it's 14 no grand, leverage. By the way. 14 grand. Yeah.
That would come out of my pocket.
Yeah.
After thinking that I already got this great client who just rolled over a $350,000 IRA.
Yeah, now you lost.
Now I lost.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's how tough it could be, man. Because, you know, I follow clients' trades and advise people on trades. And when they're both green, it's beautiful. when they're both red, oh man, there's no worse. I mean, you're in the ninth circle of hell. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah.
So obviously, guys, trading isn't good. That's the takeaway from right now.
Yeah.
Maybe their flush faces probably can't show you that right now because this is the audio.
Right.
But everyone here is flush right now.
Yeah.
Talking about trading.
I really feel like buying and holding for the long term is the easiest life.
Yeah.
It's the easiest life. I trade entities because, and I don't day trade entities or even week trade entities. It depends on the entity, but I like hype trade entities. I don't know if that's the term, hype trade. When it's a lot of hype around specific entities, that's when I trade.
That's what Jason does.
Oh, okay.
A little bit.
No, he hype watches.
Yeah, he hype observes.
Yeah, I'm a hype viewer.
He's a
hype
voyeur.
He's a hype voyeur.
Yeah, bro, with the binoculars.
The worst. Yeah. I'm just double dutching. I'm just waiting to get
to jump in.
Waiting to jump in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When is the right time to buy the dick butt? I don't know.
Hey, yo.
Double dutching the dick butt.
That's the name of the title.
That's the title of the episode. Oh, man. All right. Well, that's it for the episode of Crypto Bros. We got to end on that note, guys. Got to. Until next week, you know, thank you guys for listening. I'm your host, Jason Madison, for my co-host, Crypto Bay J.
Hey, hey.
Mike McGoy and Chris Epps. Holla at y'all next week. Peace.